Good morning, Mr. Rick. Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf, 586.
Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
Hey, I guess same old, same old. It's a Tuesday. Do anything fun this past weekend? Haven't talked to you for a couple days.
Yeah, I did. I went down to Holland and went out for lunch and breakfast and dinners. We had a good weekend. Got out quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm debating making a trip down there for what they call the Holland Tulip Festival, which is, I think, like the first or so week of May. Might be kind of fun.
Well, I would caution, the last time I was down there during the Tulip Festival, it was mobbed. So you got to like a lot of people.
Oh, I'll probably pass then. Just to see the streets lined with fresh flowers, hey, I guess that's not that cool.
Yeah, if you went during the week, it probably wouldn't be bad. So you do have that option. So it's just on the weekends, it's just there's a lot of craziness going on. So that's what I would caution. Maybe the middle of the week or something like that. Then you get to actually see some of the tulip gardens and stuff like that. It wouldn't be as big a deal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got some more radio news for you. Are you ready for radio news?
I go for it.
Well, our friend Mr. Drake has been playing with that remote receiver that you were talking about a couple weeks ago for the link system support for whatever. Anyhow, he's got it on an experimental basis, and today I think he said he was going to be driving up to Petoskey and testing the range on it.
Oh, interesting. Well, I just hit his link system repeater from, where the heck am I? I'm out on Plum Valley Road out, I would be east of Torch Lake, but I haven't tried it from my house yet, so that would be an interesting spot to try.
Well, my recommendation is wait until he's got it fully integrated. He's got a second receiver site over in Leelanau County now, and so it's going to hear much better to the north.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, if it gets through the network of hills down into my area, it'd be kind of cool, because that was one of the I can't get on the link system from my home. I can do it digitally, but it's just not the same digitally. As a matter of fact, I reprogrammed and checked out my little digital DMR thing that I keep in the car. I made sure that was all up to date. Got my handy talkie communicating with it, so now I could go digital in the car through my handy talkie if I wanted to.
Yeah, you know, I've never optimized my MMDV, or I've never even tried an All-Star setup. You know, I'm kind of the old school. I like to keep things RF, and that's why, you know, when they were designing the link system, they were going to have microwave links. I don't know whether they've actually established those or not.
Yeah, that's a good thought. And I prefer radio be radio, like you say. Microwave links would be the preferred. preferred method. But some of the digital links are also handy, especially if you're way out of radio range, I guess. I could essentially go to Arizona and digitally talk to the link system here in Michigan, which would be kind of nice as far as traveling, you know.
Yeah, I'm tempted to set up something here because the one thing I like to do is be able to check the reception of my transmitters. And the way I do that is I have to hear somebody else, his receiver, hearing me. And the various internet link systems can do that. And that's something I'd like to have available.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That would be fun. So, yeah, I played around with that. I also discovered my radio in my car has twice as many channels available for programming. So they've upped the memory for the available. Let me say, there's channels in reserve that you can plug into active memory, but it used to be 16, and now it's like 32 in the active memory, which is kind of nice. And then there's groups of 32 that you can have in reserve. So I got double the space now. I'm going to have to do a reorganizing. Oddly enough, it programs through my cell phone, Bluetooth, and I almost prefer the computer better because then you can save the profile in case you lose it. If I mess it up on my cell phone, then it's messed up and I have to go back in and fix it. So I messed it up when I was down in Holland. I was trying to pull up some stations down there and I messed it up.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised. My car radio, has the old...
KCACSU on North Michigan Link Receiver System.
KI7QMD Mobile on 19 Toby. I'm in a scratchy zone. Maybe I'll text you when I get a little further north. KI7QMD Mobile.
Okay, yeah, you and Jim were real scratchy on 8-6. Drake's got to get up there and check something because 8-6 in the morning has got so much scratch in it. You both were, like, hard to hear.
That's strange. Yeah, I was out on Plum Valley and reception and was good for me.
Yeah, you have to remember, you know, like I say is, it's hard over here, but it's hard all around. But no, the repeater's got some issues up there, and Jim gets scratchy, and he should not be scratching that bad. He should not, and nor should you. That's why I won't use 8-6 that much, because it's so noisy at times. It's just like people from far distances, they get in there and they scratch. It's just so crackly, let's use crackly, not scratch. It gets so crackly you can't even tell who the person is.
Yeah, you gotta turn on your bacon filter. Hi. Oh boy. Anyway, yeah. It's usually pretty good for me. Every now and then, Jim gets a little crackly. I think it might be his radio. Sometimes it does a little bit of crackle, but you never know. All these radio frequencies flying around the universe, they make a mess out of everything.
Well, I noticed with 86, it's getting worse and worse. I mentioned it to Drake and Joe about getting up there. Because there's times where it's so bad, I can't even talk to the person. That's why I don't really use it that much. Alpha Charlie, Delta Golf, are you over here on the link?
Good morning, ACATG on the link.
For Mr. Coffee Run.
The summer.
Oop, lots of doubling there. ACATG. Yeah, I'm listening, but go ahead, Toby.
Oh, you sound much better over here than you did on 86. Both you and Rick there. Drake's aware of the problem. They gotta go up and figure out what's going on up there, why it's so crackly. I think it's just, I don't know. But no, you guys sound much better over here. Yeah, it's nice down there. Drake's got that 107 PL tone on the Traverse City. I can get in much better. Go ahead, Rick, and then over to Mr. Jim.
Yeah, where I'm at right now, you're kind of scratchy. I'm on the 1.9, but I think I can hear Jim better on the 8.6 when I was over there. So I guess it must have something to do with our location down the bottom end of Torch Lake there, because it's just a vacuum of radio frequencies.
Hey, Toby and Rick, you guys carry on. I'm going to go back to Mr. Coffee, ACADG.
Okay, let's run again. Move Mr. Coffee over next to Mr. Radio. yeah, Rick, no. I mean, it's hard. I need a new antenna. That definitely got to happen this year because I'm in a broken disc cone right now, and it's horrible. So, yeah. But no, I wasn't getting in real good either, even with a handheld until Drake changed it to 172, because I think it went to a voting system to pick the nearest receiver to me.
Yeah, I hear he was going to add another receiver for his repeater down there, the T6 or 2.8, whatever the heck it is. And that's not a bad idea either. I don't know if he's put it in yet or not. Jim was telling me about that. I don't know if it's running or not, but I'd like to see if I can get on from my house once it's established.
Well, here's what you need to do on the 14726. Change your PL to 107.2, and that'll pick you up. Drake worked on it this weekend and stuff. That's why I'm getting in so good, is because of him doing that. Before, I would not be able to even get on here.
Oh, 107.2. Okay. I'm going to have to make myself a note.
Yeah, he did that to the 2.6, and it made it so much better for me to get into. Drake said I sounded much better since they did the voter machine or whatever he did. So it worked out nice.
That's good. I just told Terry to make a note. I'll have to try that later today.
Yeah. I mean, I can change it in the radio so I don't have to reprogram the whole dang radio and add another channel. So I just made that change. As soon as he switches it back to the other one, we'll know. But no, otherwise it's working fine. I wonder if Drake's out there. NADMH, are you listening?
I don't hear him. So, Toby, is it the same transmitter receiver, just a different PL? Question mark?
It's the same transmitter, but he just changed the PL tone because he was trying to get the voter machine to hook up, but it was not working right, so he changed it over to 107.2, until he has time to really look at it, because he was so fried out Saturday afternoon. He just was, he was tired. I was texting with him a little bit, and even so, he got on the radio, and he'd messed with it for like 2 hours, and finally he said, just stay with Mall 72 right now. I'll figure it out later. He was just so tired. He said he needed a nap, and I understand as hard as he works.
Oh, yeah, I agree. So he said he was going to put in a second or a remote receiver at his parents' house. So that's the question. I mean, is the other PO on that second receiver, or is he still only on the single transmit receive location? That's what I was kind of curious about.
I don't know. All I know is I can get in now, so that's the main part right now. I have a hard time understanding the technical part of it. It kind of goes over my head. I'm not a technical wizard at all.
No, I get you. Yeah, it didn't sound too complicated to me. You know, he has the standard site with a repeater, and then he was going to add an additional receive unit that talked to it through the internet, so that he could get a little more reception range. So I can, from my house, I can hit it and activate it, but I have a bad, I don't have enough height or power to get to it good, but I can hear it just fine. So he was trying to find a different location where it had better reception, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just glad it's working. It's crazy out there right now with stuff, you know. I mean, back in the day, we just had repeaters. We didn't have links. We didn't have nothing when I started. And then the IRA came in, and now you got all this computer stuff, you know, Echolink, All-Star, all that. It's all Greek to me. It's like programming my DMR. I just lost my mind on that. I called up my friend Joe at NHC and said, when can you do it? I'm coming to town this day. Can you do it this day? He says, bring it up. Because for me, looking at a screen, I can do POs, tones, that's about it. Otherwise, it's like anything else, I'm going to throw the radio into orbit. I mean, seriously, I have done that with a radio where I had reset it 18 times in one day because I kept hitting the wrong thing.
Yeah, I hear you. I've spent a lot of time programming and technology and stuff like that for about 35 years in the machine tool industry, so it took me a while to figure it out, but now I kind of got it. I kind of got it organized. Some of the extra things I haven't dealt with yet, you know, some of the other digital modes and digital over RF and things like that. But I still got to get myself an HF radio and play around with some of those things.
Yeah, it's like these high stars or all stars. I don't know if I'd be able to even have one of those. I would probably mess that right up and just pick it out the door, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm one of those that, hey, you know, it's like trying to learn how to use Chirp to program all my radios. It took me a while there. It's like my scanner I bought, my Uniden 996 P2. Doing it by hand, I had to go to YouTube to figure out how to program EPCO 25. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm one of those that, how do I do this? It's like when I bought my FC70. Go YouTube, It'll teach you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good resource. Have you ever dialed a phone number through your radio? That's kind of fun.
Nope, we don't have AutoPatch up here anymore. We used to have it at one time on the 86. And, there was some conversations on there. It's kind of like, oh, okay, you better not use the radio. A couple were fighting on the radio just about one day.
Oh, that's funny. That is hilarious. Yeah, that's a fun thing. What the heck else was I going to say? It's foggy up here. It's probably that freezing fog. I'm up somewhere near Kitchen Farms. I can't tell because I can't see very far.
Ah, okay. Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, Rick, I'm going to let you drive in that fog, bud, because that's going to be nasty in that area. We'll talk to you later. KI7QMD, KCAESU. Mobile safe, my friend.
KCAESU 73, KI7QMD. Back to listening. Hey, DMH Mobile. KI7QMD Mobile.
Hey, good morning, Rick. I have news for you.
Yeah, I've been hearing grumblings about a different PL tone and all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah, the plan was to have the voter going, but the voter didn't really want to vote. It was a whole thing, it was, whenever I would enable the voter in All-Star, or in AppRepeat, it would only let audio from the local receiver through, not the remote one, and it was a mess, so I was just like, screw it, the remote receiver is going to live on a 107.2PL until I can figure this out, because none of it's making any sense.
Well, I'm going to probably try that from my house this afternoon when I get home and see if it works. So I did dial in on the regular PL from Plum Valley Road, and I was able to hit the repeater okay. So that was interesting.
Really? Well, sometimes the receive on it is okay, not great, but okay, and then that exhaust fan up there will turn on, and then you can just say goodbye to having any good receive up there. It's always intermittent. Most of the time it's bad, sometimes it's okay.
Yeah, from my house, I can activate the thing, but nobody can hear what I'm saying. The opposite side of it is I can hear everything through that repeater, so the transmit's getting to me just fine. But yeah, it's going to be fun to try that out tonight. I was down in Holland over the weekend and messing with my radio and managed to mess up some of my programming, so I got to fix that on this Chinese thing of mine. I realized they doubled the channels on it now. Instead of 16, it's got 32 channels now on active or active channel. I don't know what to call it, but it's got all those separate memories that you can push into the active memory location. But it went up from 16 to 32, so I got to play around with that too.
If it's the 7500, I've tried putting frequencies in those banks above 16, and it doesn't hold them. So I don't know if you have to do a firmware update to the radio before you do that, But I haven't done a firmware update to my 7500 in a while, mainly because I just use it as a OPRS beacon at work. Wow, dude, you're going to use a bike and you got no lights? That's a genius. And you're on the wrong side of the road. So many dumb people.
Yeah, you would have laughed at me. I think it was Saturday. I went to Home Depot to pick up some molding. And you walk in and people greet you. Yeah, how are you doing? I say, there's a lot of stupid people out there. Probably shouldn't have said that, but the drive-in was totally ridiculous. It was bad weather and bad drivers.
Yeah, I understood there. I have to deal with them on a daily basis, and that's real fun. So, anyway. Well, good deal. Yeah, let me know how that receiver works out for you. It'll work pretty good. I have a feeling it should work pretty good along 31 today, or 31. I'm going to try that today. This morning, I'm headed over to Kalkaska, then I got to stop in, I have two stops in Petoskey. So I'll try it along 131. I know coverage along 131 is a little marginal, even from the main site. But we'll see if it works out that way. And then on my way south along 31, I'll see how it goes. But I imagine coverage on 31 is going to be significantly improved. So it's going to have, for now, it's going to have two memories, one that's got 114.8 and 107.2. And just remember that the 107.2 is for north coverage. And I got a phone call. And it's the image.
73, thanks again for all your hard work. KI7, QMD, back to listening.
KCVSU, is the repeater back up?
Shouldn't have gone down.
Sure, I tried keying it up like four different times here since you threw your call out. I threw my call out and then went to key up again and it just like dropped. I couldn't even pick it up.
Interesting. I didn't get any alarms that anything shut off, so that's interesting.
Yeah, because I unkeyed, let go for a couple minutes, and keyed up again. Good morning, Drake. How are you on this foggy 23-degree morning?
I want the 55 degrees back.
Amen, amen, amen. I'll take that word.
Yeah, that was like mini spring is what that was. That was awesome. But, and I didn't get the chance to go take my car to the car wash. It is covered in salt right now, and it's been so dang cold that I haven't been able to go through the car wash. They closed the car wash near my place, so I don't really want to go anywhere else because the other car washes have those stupid brush things that touch your car, and I am not a fan of those.
I'm okay with it. What I do is I'll take the wand and clean it all off. I'll go slowly down it, then I'll soap it. But my truck, I can't tell any scratches with it being gold.
The issue I have is the last time I did one of those, it scratched up all of the paint, and it started ripping paint off in one of the rust spots, and I was like, yeah, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's Tuesday. For some reason, I'm thinking it's Friday already for something in my mind.
I did not need to hear that. It needs to be Friday.
I know. This week's already gone. I'm forgetting what day of the week it is already and stuff, yeah. So how was your day yesterday? Pretty busy?
I did a computer swap at Wolverine Power yesterday, and it went slow, discovered that there was a bad network cable, which was causing it to be slow, and then after replacing that cable, everything went much faster. And that was pretty much all yesterday. Today, I got a couple of deliveries to make, and then I'm going back to the jail again.
Oh, okay, yeah. Just going to ask you something that I forgot what it was. Oh, well. Oh, boy, more camera stuff to do there. You're just loving that, aren't you?
Well, it's not a real big deal. I just, whenever the contractor gets the new cameras in there, I just look and add them into the system and make sure they're pointing the right way, assuming they're plugged in and assembled correctly.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. Well, at least then you ought to do the installs. Boy, Jeff did a great job on that ambulance.
Oh, yep. That's how Jeff usually does his stuff. He always does everything nice and clean, and he goes a little overboard with zip ties, but that's okay.
You know, sometimes neediness does help if the person that you're doing it for sees that, they'll call you back. They'll say, hey, this guy was good, send him back. You know, yeah. Otherwise, not much going on here. Went down to the station yesterday. Got a little bit of spring fever in me. I was able to pull out about three trucks and clean their bays up. Oh, man, the one day had so much dirt in it. It took two things to empty that bay out. I had so much dirt in it. Oh, I was glad I pulled that truck out and cleaned under it.
Oh, yeah, I bet. With how much dirt they're using on the road and how much salt that's just getting everywhere and tracked everywhere, so I bet it looks a lot nicer. We got to do that to our shop eventually, but we're not doing that until it's springtime and the salt's gone, because there's no point in doing it now when it's just going to get tracked right back in there. So, anyway. But this morning I'm heading up along 31, so I'm going to give the new receiver a try and see if that helps improve coverage along that way, especially up into Elk Rapids, because I know it got a little bit spotty that way. I know Pete was using it, and it got a little iffy that way.
Yeah, and I haven't changed handheld yet. I got to put this one in the one bow thing. I'm going to try it and stuff here, but I haven't even gotten into the gump of doing that yet. You know, and then I got to get over on the any tone, get that changed. But I'm going to wait until we... I'm just going to keep one radio on 107 until you go back.
Right. Well, I'm going to give another try, and if this second try doesn't work, I'm going to have to use some different interfaces. I'm going to have to buy some RTCMs, and unfortunately, those are $300 a piece, and I got to have one at the main repeater site and then one at each receiver site, and that's not going to be a fun bill.
No. Now, Jerry, where am I going into then? If I'm going to a microwave or to a transmitter, I'm going into Bunsen, right? Or am I going to a different site and it's backhauling it to the Bunsen transmitter? Explain that in simple terms to me. Technology does not always compute with my head.
Yeah, I can do that. So, the receiver that you're using is at my parents' house, and it's backhauled to Munson over the internet at the moment. It's got a really reliable internet connection, so I don't ever anticipate it going down. Plus, the power at my parents' house is, well, it comes from a substation that is a quarter mile from there, and it's all underground power lines. So, if that site doesn't have any power, then a lot of people don't have any power. That's how you're getting in. It's backhauls everything from there to Munson, which is why the currency tone when you unkey is different from when I unkey. The higher pitched tone means that it's on the local receiver. The lower pitched tone means it's either coming from the remote receiver or from a remote repeater somewhere.
Okay, thank you, Drake. That helps a lot more for me to understand. Because, like I say, I'm not a technical wizard. Some of the words you've used a couple of times have made me scratch my head. Thank you for keeping it simple. Yeah, too bad we can't get one over on the Mancelona repeater if we had room there. But I think Pete's got enough stuff going on over there. He's got what, Fusion. I think they had GMRS there. It keeps going up and down. And, you know, the 3.8. So, yeah, too bad. I mean, it'd also be nice to go, like, up to Gaylord. There's a site there that was for the 14682, but they haven't moved it back yet. I think that would be another good site.
Yeah, that's in, we're looking at sites over that way. If we get a site near Gaylord, we're probably not going to do something near Mansletucky or Kalkaska. We're also looking at doing one in Grayling to help fill in that gap there too, and then hopefully maybe one down towards Cadillac or maybe even Manistee.
Okay, yeah. I'm just, you know, some ideas. I like this. I really do like this over the IRA or even Fusion. I'm real happy being over here. I mean, there's more people to talk to that I know, you know. I've been able to talk to John. I've got his call the other day. I mean, we would talk a lot on the 8-2 and then John and AYSS and, you know, all that stuff really is nice having up here. I mean, we're going to do that one time. We had the 7-4 and the 3-8 hooked up at one time, and that really was nice until, you know, Sheboygan pulled out of it, which really made it hurt because it was kind of a nice little system.
You know, the funny thing is the site where Sheboygan was when that link was active is where the 7-4 is now, and that antenna, I believe, is still on the tower. The Yagi is on the tower still, but it's falling apart, though. I think we're probably going to pull it. If it's not on the tower anymore, then that's probably a good thing. Like, half of the whole feed line for that antenna was falling right off the antenna, but there are still a bunch of VHF antennas on that tower that, or Yagis, that could be used for something like that, although we don't do RF linking like that. We do it over microwave or internet, and that seems to be very, very reliable for us.
Oh, true. Yeah, let's hope that they don't get the ice like they're talking about up over that way again. Oh, boy. Yeah, no, but I mean, you know, it's nice having our Northern Michigan link system. I mean, like I say, I like it. You know, now that you've got the receiver to backhaul your mom and dad's house over to that, it makes it so much nicer. So, you know, you've improved it just that little bit, and that's awesome. That's awesome, buddy. I mean, you know, like I say, I'm not a technical wizard. I mean, I'd have Joe program my DMR. What's that tell you?
Well, DMR is never really an easy thing to program in the first place. It's a commercial mode. It was designed for ease of use, not exactly ease of programming. And I definitely think it nails the ease of use aspect. You know, because if you want to change TalkCrypt, you just change your channel dial, and then you key up, and boom, you're there. You don't have to fiddle fart around with changing the room and then making sure it's connected or remembering to disconnect it when you're done. It does that all for you. If you don't key up after 10 minutes, it automatically disconnects that TalkCrypt you're on, so it doesn't tie up the repeater anymore. It's pretty ease of use, pretty good. Ease of programming.
Yep, there you go. Hey, I got a question. Is the 707 still active on APRS for you?
It is, but the finals finally gave up the ghost. It's still transmitting, but I think it's only at like half a watt. I got to go up there, and we got to give it a proper funeral and replace it with a new radio.
Hey, it lasted, yeah. I mean, Jingle Pizza, I remember giving that to you today. I got an APRS rig.
Yeah, it was, it lived a pretty long, prosperous life doing that. It was actually at probably our busiest APRS site, which was Petoskey, and it lived at Sussmanville for a while, and man, I'm surprised that thing didn't die any sooner than that. I think it finally quit a few months back.
Well, the one thing is, that thing didn't go high power a lot. I kept it at low power as much as I could, just to keep the finals from dying. So, basically, there's your story. I kept it alive for you.
I think it was running at, I think I had it at medium power whenever I was using it for APRS, so I think it was just, you know what, the fan was starting to get tired, so I'm wondering if the fan finally quit and then it overheated or something like that.
It could be. I've had that thing since new, so, yeah, no, that one was my truck, and I hardly use high power. You know, like I was talking about, but no, that 707 stayed in my S10 for years, and, you know, yeah, but hey, it's right for its funeral.
Yeah, it sure is. But that's okay. I've got a Motorola, I think I got a TM300 or a CM200 or a 1225 or something to throw in there in its place. And, those don't require fans, so those should live pretty long. We've got a couple of CDM750s that we use for our packet radios, and we got a couple of those at the Sheboygan site, and they've been cranking along, but not quite as long as that Kenwood has.
Oh, I know, and it sat for a while, because once I got rid of the S10 pickup, I didn't put it in the Trailblazer because I know where to mount it. You know, I wore a remote face kit, but trying to find the stuff to do that was going to be hard. I'm not going through all this, you know. So it did its job there. Well, good. Let's see. So what? Have you heard anything on any Skywarn meetings coming up at all?
Not yet. That one storm kind of caught us off guard because that's kind of the earliest I've ever had something. So I haven't had a chance to talk with Mike yet, but I would imagine we're going to start stuff up soon because we're already seeing hailstorms and whatnot.
I know. That caught me yesterday. I look on the thing and I'm like, what? And, yeah, no, that kind of surprised me looking because I heard something look thunk, 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 thunk. I'm like, what's that? So I go look on the back deck and here's little pellets on the thing. I said, you got to be kidding me. That is unbelievable.
Well, when you get a lot of humidity and it warms up suddenly, that's kind of what you get.
True, true. But that's okay. They help wash some snow away. So, yeah. Well, let's see. Not much going on here. Kind of thinking about, you know, next couple months I'll order a new antenna and feed line and maybe get a hold of the bucket company, get them out here, and we'll do an antenna swap just to get the old, get to the top of the tower again so I can get out real good.
Yeah, there you go. That'll do you some good. And you'll have an antenna that actually radiates.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Here we go. Oh, great. Oh, great. Big news coming. Let's see here. Uh-oh. They're getting ready that we might see the look of weight restrictions coming on soon. Oh, boy. That's a surprise.
I saw that. It doesn't bother me much, but a buddy of mine drives a box truck, and now he's got to pay attention to that.
Oh, I know, I know. And it's like, you know, we get behind him, it's like, oh, here we go, yeah. Well, the sun's coming out. Oh, ouch. I shouldn't have looked out my side window. I just got blinded.
Yeah, you'll have that. Alright, I just switched over to the other receiver. How's this working?
Oh, you did? No change. No change. You're perfect.
Oh, hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, but it's now more cleaner on here, too. You don't have any background noise. Like, it's almost like you're sitting right next to me.
Oh. If you saw the spectrum analyzer with how much noise was on the that the local receiver's got to deal with, you would understand why.
Oh, I know, I know. Somebody left the link on last night because Jim and Rick were on the 8.6 and somebody left the thing on last night. Yeah. No, the 8.6 is sounding so bad, though, with all the static on it.
Most of that is likely because of the temperature change. It's a pattern that Joe and I notice whenever the temperature switches between freezing, below freezing, freezing, and above freezing, there's condensation or something that must be getting in the line, and it causes a bunch of crackling, and it makes all that crackling get worse, or it's condensation on somebody else's system that's causing issues. And then when it evaporates and everything, it kind of goes away. It gets a little bit, it doesn't fix it entirely, but it gets a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, it's part of life. So, no. So have you sold your 510 yet?
No, not yet. I'm waiting on the diode to repair that. But I also got another guy that's interested in it, so... If he doesn't buy it, then I'm going to put it on eBay.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. I don't know. I might get something new this year. Well, first thing before I buy something new is I'm going to fix the antennas. I got no choice. I already talked to a bucket guy, and we chatted about it, and I said, well, I'll call you if I need you because... I'm not climbing that thing, and then we got to take down two antennas to put up one.
Yeah, if you don't have a very good antenna, there's not a whole lot of use in getting a new rig, because it's just going to blow up the new rig.
Which I'm surprised it hasn't blown up this one, but I don't run high wattage on it either, so yeah. Well, let's see, there's a bunch of storm chasers out. One of the people got Storm Chaser of the Year that I watched, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, really? Who was that?
Brandon Montgomery, I think his last name is. He got Storm Chaser of the Year. They had a summit or some sort of a meeting, and yeah, he got Storm Chaser of the Year.
I have no idea who that is, so, well, that's kind of cool anyway. Good stuff. I'm just about to get into Yuba, and I know this was a rough spot for the local receiver. Let me drop down the hill here, and we'll see how that goes. Because I know right along 31 is where it would get real iffy and unfun. So I'm just going by the Yuba School and Sailor Park right now. I'm actually down in the valley. So how are we sounding into it?
Right. You sound fine. No noise, nothing. I can tell you're hitting the little ruts in the road, though. I hear a bump, bump, bump.
Yeah, I don't have that on those big jobs.
Yeah. And then one guy's dog got the Dog of the Year Award, Jaden. His dog, Zero, got the Pet of the Year Award for storm chasing.
I didn't know that storm chasers would bring their pets with them. That's interesting.
I know. I kind of saw that, too. I'm like, wow. Well, some Ray takes his dog when he can or before he passed. You know, he takes Zero with him. Or not Zero, just Hope, you know, with him. Yeah, it's kind of neat, but yeah, I know. Taking your dog with you,
Oh, man, I remember watching Tornado Chasers when Reed was on there, and you never brought the dog, but that was back when he had Gizmo. He never brought the dog with him, but man, he would always get all wound up whenever they would go to intercept and they would drop the thing down. He would just so I'm surprised the man still has a voice.
Oh, I know. You know, I mean, some of these ones I've watched, thank God for YouTube. It's really fun some days, and some days it's very, very boring. I actually gave up, I unsubscribed from one guy because he's just walking away from all his storm chasing friends. He's off doing his own thing, and he kind of gets into a little mode, and he has just walked away from a lot of people he chased with. He's just gone on his own.
Hold on, give me 1 second here. Okay. I set up the phone app so I can see what I sound like into the repeater. But, yeah, walking away from everybody that's kind of in the profession instead of sticking with everybody as a group, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
No, and he has gotten so negative over people on his thing, and it's like, I'm tired of it. I actually unsubscribed. I used to kind of, you know, Google Play, pay to watch his members only, but I just can't even listen to the guy anymore. He's gone just totally rogue. It's Vince Wealthy over there in Madison. He has just gone, you know, he pulled away from those guys. Now he's in this weather balloon stuff and all this. And, I mean, it's like, all this is crap. Why'd I even come out and all this? And it's just like, forget it. I can't even watch them.
Yeah, there's no sense in being negative like that. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And it doesn't really make you look good either. It's, not a good image for yourself. So, wow, this one sounds really good over here. Let me stand by. Let me try the local receiver and compare.
Copy back, KCAVSU for ID.
NAKMH. Oh, wow. Yeah, the remote receiver sounds a lot better over here. There's a lot more noise on this one. Especially now that I'm dropping into Elk Rapids.
Yeah, there's a lot more static, or not static, but noise a little bit, yeah. You can tell the big difference.
Yep. Let me switch back. Alright. Back on the remote. Alright, I'm going to grab some gas, so I will be right back. An ADMH mobile. I'll grab it.
Okay, have fun at Barney Castle. KCAVSU. Negative. It is Charter. in his charter. I even called and told him, hey, every time I power down my thing and kick it back on, it's sending me over to Wisconsin. And it's just driving everything nuts. I finally got it fixed, but it just surprises me.
That's interesting. I don't know if I've had that issue specifically. Whenever I use our shop internet, and I'll pull up like APRS FI, it'll say I'm in Holland. But we have a router in our shop that tunnels everything to our Holland location, so whenever we browse the internet, it's as if we're in Holland. So, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, we put APRS on the phone, and that's got me way over in Japan for some reason. I got to figure that out yet, too. You know, I got to probably put in my land long, and then it'll come back, but I don't know how to do that yet. So next time I get in town, I'll get with Joe, and we'll figure out why it's doing that.
Right. I'm trying the local receiver again. Yeah, that doesn't sound as clean. So. But, yeah. I understand that. And most of the time, the way that websites will give your location is based on your IP address and where your service provider is, where your service provider thinks you are, which is not always correct.
Yeah, it's like right now I've got back on, here was it, I'm on, I had to input something here for Microsoft, so that may have been too, because I've been out for a while or so. OneDrive, yeah, I had to do update the OneDrive, and now it's got my GPS location in Microsoft Edge, so yeah, there we go. But nope, it's just trying to be used to all this stuff. I mean, we didn't have this back in the day. But no, I like that AnyTone. I really do. So, I don't know. I may call AnyTone or I'll call BridgeCom and ask a couple questions. Maybe get some help on it to figure out what I need to do.
Yeah, there you go. I know that you can, you have to pay for it, but you can have them create you a code plug and everything with area repeaters, but they use information from, repeater book, and that's not always correct. It's only as correct as the people that update the, repeater books, and a lot of people don't update repeater books with their repeaters and stuff. But, yeah.
Right. That's what I'm finding, too. It's like anything, you know. It's like some of the things for radio reference, they aren't up to date. You know, some of the things they put there. Yeah, no. It's interesting to put that way. So, yeah. Well, hey, I'm going to let you go so you kick on some music and enjoy your ride up north, though, Drake. So we'll talk to you later. Mobile safe, and we'll talk to you soon. NADMH, KCAVSU, 73.
Yeah, sounds great, Toby. Have a good one. NADMH, mobile. level testing. DMH mobile testing.
Listening to your input signal at the same time, ACATG.
I wondered if you were doing that.
Yeah, just kind of tracking to see how you do. ACATG, just listening here. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it seems to be receiving quite well up here. I'm using the remote receiver right now, and a lot better than what the local receiver ever did. Oh yeah. I didn't hear you that great on the output. But you also doubled with the Munson transmitter. So I didn't hear you real well. Okay, DMH, mobile, Charlevoix.
N80APX mobile.
Hello.
What's Yeager?
Well, I did a bunch of testing on that remote receiver for 2.6, and he cranks all the way up into Sheboygan now. Charlevoix.
Sweet. I like it.
I meant Charlevoix, but you know what I'm talking about. So, I'm going to try to get the voting to go again, but if it doesn't work, I guess I'm just going to have to save up some money and buy a few RTCMs and do it the way that Central Michigan does it, which is the right way to do it, but I wanted to do it without spending $600.
Buy once, cry once.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Did you see my note flag?
Standby. Ooh, that is super duper.
Yeah, he called me about 15, 20 minutes. Said he was going to get a hold of that and make sure we can get some kind of MOU.
That's good. I'm a fan. If there's a will, there is always a way.
I'm going to keep fighting. Still dead and buried.
That's the way to do it, so. Anyway. You know how the voter thing goes. If it works, then it's as simple as I send you a CM Wetaway sound fob, and then all I need you to do is literally grab some Cat5 cable, and you just got to use one of the pairs, solder it to a headphone jack, plug it into the mic port, and then jam it into the wireline 2 port on an MTR-2000, even if it's a repeater. You don't need to use the transmit side. You can just turn the transmit side off, and boom, boom, kaboom, and then I just got to configure it.
Sweet. Yeah, I definitely think as long as we can stay on stuff, that would be a prime site for a voter.
Yeah, I would agree. Or we could do, we'd have to buy some RTCMs, but we could do simulcast. We just got to make sure we get the GPS modules for them.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather do that if it's possible, just because when you're down really close to the bay, the transmit off of Krause just sucks. There's just too much in the way.
So it happens when you got terrain. But other than that, I mean, the Crossroad Tower has really impressed me with its coverage. Other than that one spot, that's a bit of an anomaly, but like, cranks all the way north of Kelston, Levering area. Receive is really good that way. I mean, when I was on 68 heading out towards Onaway, I was using the D-Star. Because I've got the 2820 in here, and I was using D-Star on 375, and it was full scale.
Yeah, that was really good. I really hope we don't lose that site.
Oh, it's our microwave hub right now.
Yeah. Well, I like microwave, but, I mean, I'd rather have the repeater space over the microwave if it comes down to it.
That's agreed.
Starlink's getting cheap enough. I could buy a couple Starlinks if all else fails.
got a standby plan that gives you like half a meg up and down for $5 a month.
Yep. And I think the chances are on sale for $175 right now.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Heck no, that's almost shooting away.
Yep. It's good stuff, so. Rolling in the Bayshore here. It's still real foggy up here. This is a lot worse than Charlevoix, but man.
I'm rolling into Bayview right now. Yeah, it was bad this morning. So you must be coming up this way. Are you coming up here anymore this week?
Yipper.
Next time you want to bring me up that radio and I'll bring you a check?
Works for me. I'm going to be up here tomorrow and I think Thursday.
Alright. Yeah, if you want to bring it with you, we'll just coordinate a meetup.
Yeah, I'll be at the jail at Petoskey, so. Yay, I'm in jail again!
You do spend an awful lot of time in jail.
Oh, just wait until you hear how much time I've spent in prison.
More than the average person.
Yes!
Yeah, see, I'm coming around by Kilwins right now, and the transmit on the 19 just falls right off here.
You still sound okay. I mean, I can tell you're on a portable, but you sound fine into the repeater. There's probably just a lot of interference in that area.
That and a lot of terrain. So having a simulcasted transmitter across the lake would be fantastic.
Ah, it'll be exactly the way the old Emmett Fire was.
Should do the same thing for Emmett Fire.
Ah, so you want to spend $1,200.
Go big or go home, right?
I just about watched an old Ford Explorer decide to slide right into a box truck at the end of that merge right there. That would have been spectacular.
And an APX mobile. Yeah, the crazies are out in full force today.
I think they're just out in full force every day up here, man. You guys got really awful drivers up here.
Yeah, it's like they all just congregate in Petoskey.
I turn now. Good luck to everybody else.
If you think it's bad now, you should come up here in July.
No.
Like a Friday at 5 o'clock right before the 4th of July week. Oh, dude. Primo driving skills around here.
Did I tell you about the one time when I was working at Cherry Republic, I was looking out the door and I looked right and saw somebody turn right from Cass onto Front Street. Keep in mind, that's a one-way. And it's not a one-way in the direction that they went. And, There was a TCPD officer right there, and that was the funniest thing I had ever watched.
Yeah, it's amazing how people get confused with one-ways, especially out on the expressway. I just seen a video the other night out of District 8, trooper stopped somebody going the wrong way on 75. It's like, hello, Can you read signs?
I believe there was a little bit of alcohol involved with that one, though.
I think you are correct.
That, when you intake the alcohol, it turns into, road is road. Drive where you want.
Yeah. I've never understood that. Get a few drinks in you and you think, I know what I should do. Go for a drive.
I just watched a red Prius absolutely blast through a red stop sign. Buddy, I don't think it's, you know, that white outline, that doesn't make it optional, no matter what you've been told as a kid. But, you know, you do you.
Ah, that's optional. It's called a Michigan stop.
I see. I was going by Epler.
I'm going by CCG.
I was supposed to stop by there today, but I got a phone call after this. I gotta book it down to Roscommon.
What you gotta do with CCE?
That is something to be dealt with off of the airways.
Oh, all right, good copy. Hey, there goes MMR. What heck are they doing up here?
Oh, fixing people.
Treat them and need them.
Don't you love it when somebody turns their blinker on and then they use their brake pedal as like a blinker? So that way it just wig-wags between the sides and you're like, which way are you going?
That's a pretty isolated incident. I don't think I deal with that very often.
I don't either, but I just saw it for the first time and I thought, I didn't know which way they were turning, and then they got into the turn lane, and I was like, oh, you're going that way.
Yeah, I don't even believe people turn signals anymore. Well, then they're left angle and turn right.
At the next right corner, turn left.
There was an update in Google Maps recently, and I'm not liking it. It used to say, in a quarter mile, turn left on the road. Now it just goes, like, 10 seconds before you have to turn, it goes, turn left now. I'm like, whoa, you need to give me more heads up than that.
Nah, I just turn and pray.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing, and one of these days, it's not going to work out for me.
Well, as long as it's in a company vehicle, then you're fine. I was just jumping on the Lake Street, so... Tucson, you can't turn left there. Okay. All right. Oh, man, I won't be able to turn because there's a semi-truck there and a semi-truck there. Oh, great. Yes, let's just turn our park anywhere lights on and block traffic in both directions.
Welcome to downtown Petoskey.
I want to go home. I'm just pulling in here. I got to pretend like I actually work. Oh, boy. It ain't DMH Mobile.
I stopped even trying to pretend. I told one of my coworkers today that we're working on stuff together. I said, you'll be able to tell I was born by C-section the way I avoid labor. All right, yeah. I'm 5 minutes out from my destination, so we'll catch you later. Any DMH, any day, yeah.
Sounds good, yep. Driving on the wrong side of the road, right next to a sheriff's department. Definitely not something I had on the agenda, but that's okay. See you, man. Any DMH.
KFA ENF.
KFA-ENF. KFA-ENF. KFA-DNS.
KDA-SVJ, mobile monitoring.
KFA-ENF.
You want to hear a quick funny story? No Drake. Lovely weight. RPS.
KFA-ENS. Hello, Ron.
Hello, Bentley. Your timing is impeccably bad as always. Can I get? Can you give me 5 minutes?
Monitoring.
W8R. I'm back in a few.
The SCU Cascine on handheld. NACMH, mobile Calcasca.
All right. Hello to Drake. Hello to Bentley if you're still there. W8R. Shining here. It's a bright sunny day. It says it's 41 degrees, so I should be in a better mood than I am. But Bentley, are you with us?
KFA ENF. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Ron, you sound annoyed.
I am. I am pretty much annoyed over a number of reasons that are not really appropriate for this venue, but, Drake, you had a great signal when you first checked in, and I went back to you, and you were gone, so, but I have a Manfalona story if you want to hear it. So, about a month ago, a couple of Manfalona dirtbags stole a pickup truck in Manfalona, and shortly thereafter, they and their stolen pickup truck came and stole a trailer from my neighborhood. And then they put it in the ditch because they're too stupid to drive and couldn't get it out, ran away and left it there, and yours truly is the one who recovered it. Well, these boneheads are wandering through town because they don't know what to do now because their ride home is stuck, you know. So they're on everybody's security cameras. They get a perfect mugshot of both of them, go to their house in Manfalona and arrest them.
That's a pretty good one right there.
Thought it was pretty funny. Bentley, I relayed our conversation about the gas meter reader guy, and it was met with a look of astonished agreement. Like, oh yeah, never thought of that.
Just a hypothesis. Hope it helps.
Sometimes you just need that little push to get you off the cliff. So, Drake, how's your day? It's awful pretty here. It's 43 degrees. Clear blue skies and everything's melting, only to be dumped on with another 6 or 8 inches of snow tomorrow, I hear.
We're not bad. In Chuckham here. Got a couple to drop off, and then that's it for the day. Started today in Petoskey. I imagine, Ron, some of the things you're annoyed about are the things that I'm also annoyed about.
It could be. It certainly could be, although I have some that are uniquely my own. Are you in the 1-9, or are you in the TC machine?
TC-CSU portable on 2-6. Wall 7.2.
Hey, Toby. Yeah, Ron, it's on the track. So I'm not surprised I'm noisy. Speaking of which, I have made a special bet, so I gotta run. Hey, DMH.
trouble.
73 to Drake. Who's on the 2-6?
KC8VSU over here in Kuwait, and I'm at portable. I'm trying it out since Drake moved it over to wall 7.2.
Well, let's put it this way. You're stronger than he was. You're at least solid, but I got 80% of his traffic, so. Anyway, Bentley, how's your day?
KF8DNS. Yeah, my day is going great. Got out at lunchtime and took a little extended walk and got some sun on my face and listened to the snow melting. It was very therapeutic.
Yeah, very good. I listened to the snow melting all night long. Icicles falling off, hitting my deck, breaking my step. But, you know, it's got to melt sometime.
Yeah, station on the 2-6, yeah, you're getting in fine. I can't remember your name. I know we've talked once before. And sounds like you're getting in better than usual.
Okay, yeah, this is Toby over here in Kuwait. I just programmed all my bail things up with the 2-6 and Drake put on over a receiver at his house going to the 2-6 and Travelers. I just checked in with a handheld to see how it was.
Yeah, Toby, just a little bacon frying in the background, but totally readable. Looks like you're getting in just fine with that little HT.
Yeah, I'm on the base now, so. Okay, I'll let you and the other gentleman continue there. We'll talk to you later. KCAVSU.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we've talked before. I'm sorry. I not only do I not remember your name, but I didn't catch your name right there. So my apologies. Yeah, Bentley, I should go home and take the mutts for a walk. I have animal issues. That's one of the reasons why I'm annoyed. And there's lots of other reasons, but, you know, nobody cares. Nobody listens. Nobody cares. Not anybody's problems but my own. But I still laugh every time I think about the Mansalona guys. It makes me smile.
Yeah, I have a similar story from a friend of mine directly who had a vehicle stolen in Walloon Lake by some Boyne Citians. And, yeah, the way those guys got caught was somewhat similar to what you just described with the Mansalona guys. Maybe they were cousins.
Well, maybe it was the same guys. Because unfortunately, when it comes to things like that, you know, they don't keep them locked up forever. They let them bond out. They just go back about their business. And if their full-time business is committing crimes, then that's what you get, you know. It's just kind of how it works. But anyway, I've got... I'm curious if you, I don't know if we talked about it. Did you go to the Traverse City swap?
Negative. I did not make it that day.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah, it was a conscious decision just because of the distance and the time and all that stuff. It's a ways, you know. It's pretty close to 2 hours each way for me. And considering the size of it, it's... And we went last year, and yeah, I like supporting the smaller clubs. I like supporting all the clubs, but I just couldn't make it work this year.
Yeah, same. That was right at the tail end of that really, really cold weather that we had, which was making things a little bit spicy for me at work for about that whole 2 weeks. So at that point, I was ready to just stay home and relax a little bit, and that's what I ended up doing.
Yeah, forgive me. I keep hopping out of the vehicle. I gotta let myself in and out through some manual gates, and that's what I'm doing. So, but I heard you. I am planning on heading south this weekend for the Livonia swap, though. That one's pretty good. It's pretty big. And I was last year. I got other reasons to go down there as well, so I'm able to justify the trip. Hopefully they're supposed to just get, you know, thunderstorms and rain down there. It's supposed to be 60 degrees downstate, I think, tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw that. I monitor the DTW weather pretty closely just for work purposes, and I was astounded by that. Pretty crazy. Hey, by the way, I've got a buddy of mine who's newly on the air, and I'll just shout out his call sign to you so you can listen for him. But his name is Josh. He lives down in Boyne Falls, and he owns a business in Gaylord that he commutes back and forth to. And he's one of my GMRS buddies that finally got his ticket recently, and he just got on the air yesterday at his base station. I think he said he's got himself a mobile that he'll be setting up pretty quickly here, too. But he's a really good guy, and he's doing really well. And if you get a chance to shout out to him, his call sign is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Tango Echo.
Well, that's funny. I know a Kilo Bravo 8 FTE, and I missed the connection. How is this just a friend, or how I missed the? I'm sorry, I didn't. If you said it, I missed it, but I didn't get the connection.
Yeah, no worries. I know him through another good friend of mine who's also on the air. His name's Chris. We were all GMRS radio guys together, and we had a little local group going on. And as we all got our ham tickets, we're kind of drifting over here to the 2-meter and 70-centimeter stuff and really enjoying it. So Josh is just the latest guy to come over to the fold.
Okay, got it. Got it. Nothing really going on radio-wise. I mean, there is some stuff that's kind of what I think Drake was implying. And again, not suitable for this medium. But there's a hike coming up this Saturday. I think Jan's planning on going. I'm going to be downstate. But her and a bunch of the ladies from our neck of the woods, I think, are going.
Yeah, Christy saw the post that they made when they did that hike a few Saturdays ago when it was super cold, and the picture of them all bundled up at the trailhead on their snowshoes. Pretty hardy women there. That's some dedication.
I think the weather this weekend will be more accommodating, but again, they're talking about 6 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow. Between, like, I think, you know, midnight, 1 a.m., and I don't know if it was 10 in the morning or 10 at night. I didn't quite catch it, but, and a potential for some more ice, too, although just, you know, a tenth of an inch or a quarter of an inch or something like that, not like, hopefully not like last year, but she's on her own this weekend because I'm out of town. Normally, you know, like I said, I apologize for this in and out stuff. I normally have an HT with me in the car that I can just fill in the blanks on, but today I don't.
Yeah, no worries. I'm getting ready to upgrade my HT and my mobile radio here pretty quickly. So looking forward to having some new gear to get set up and make my life a little bit more capable and interesting.
I think you saw my setup. It was just shortly after I got this new truck. And I'm still running the same thing, you know, just kind of temped up. The mount's good. The radio mount's good. Using a magnet mount, haven't gotten around to drilling any holes yet. I got my speaker situation good, but I need to wire the B+, make it a little more robust. I'm also thinking, I mean, I like having the Fusion in here for when I travel, but I would rather have, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd druther have DMR over fusion. So I'm sort of looking for an XPR mobile, like a 4550 or 5550 or something like that. Putting that in here instead of, or in addition to, I don't know. I could do mono bands. There's lots of different ways I could go. I wouldn't mind P25 in here too, but it's just not that prevalent, especially up here. You know, about the only thing I can talk to with it is my hotspot. But and spring's coming, so I'm kind of under the gun to get my wire antennas done because those got to go up in winter. There's a rule. They work better in the winter anyway. So, all right, I'm at my next stop here. Again, I should only be a minute, but I gotta effect entry and unsecure the building and then re-secure the building and all that stuff. So, but I'll be back in a little bit if you're still around. Always good hearing you. And yeah, I think I might go home and get the mutts out and take them for a little stroll. They're pretty independent and they're pretty loose most of the time when I'm home, but I don't like them. I don't like them roaming the neighborhood either. So, all right, talk to you soon. K80NF from W8RP.
Get those dogs out in the sun today. Be good for both of you. Good chatting with you, Ron. Have a great afternoon. I will catch you another time. KF8ENF.
KF8ENF, Drake, you're still barely getting in. Pretty scratchy. Broken up.
Yeah, it'll get better here in a minute. I'm heading towards Traverse. Out here in Carol King Town. What's going on there, Bentley?
Hey, just enjoying some nice warm weather before the next storm tonight. And, you know, just trying to get through another week.
Yeah, I saw about that storm. And then I saw the ice. And I was like, cool. Yeah, because we need that again.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it, and I guess that'll be tomorrow morning when I'm getting up bright and early and heading out.
Yeah. Anyway, well, the only reason why I'm making it at all is I set up a remote receiver for my VHF machine. Using that right now. Supposed to set it up so it votes, but that was a whole mess. And now I'm thinking I might have to buy some more hardware to make that work. So. Oh boy, fun times. But yeah, gotta go to Roscommon first thing. And after that, book it back up to... Oh, fun.
Yeah, I got about 60% of that. But it does sound like some of that you brought on yourself, young man.
Oh, maybe. On the agenda?
Nah, not really. Hey, by the way, thanks for helping me out. I think it was yesterday on my D-Star cell through my hotspot to make sure that was working correctly. I looked up that reflector that you met me on, and I think that was set up for, like, the Michigan Aries network or something like that. Is that reflector active during Stormwatch or something?
Not really. We don't really use it up here. We use it for that or other things. But yeah, we don't use that a whole lot. We mostly use DMR and analog.
All right, good to know. Just curious if it was something that I should be paying attention to during certain times or not.
I think it's more used downstate. But we don't use it a whole lot up here. It's nice to have it, though. It's another avenue.
To buy myself another one of these 5100s and put it in my truck and just trying to determine whether D-Star is useful or not. So I've just been dialing into a few different reflectors and a few different actual D-Star repeaters around the country to see, you know, if there's traffic on them and how useful it might be.
Oh, it's useful. It's just not the most, it's not really the dominant mode up here. Most of the, well, there used to be a lot more repeaters, but they kind of went by the wayside. Now there's Fusion and DMR. My only issue with these cars is the radios are so darn expensive. So expensive. DMR is like a spend as little or as much as you want kind of thing. I mean, yeah, you'll have varying quality in radios, but you get what you pay for at that point.
Yeah, true. Light, cheap, strong. Pick any two. But I've been loving this 5100 so much. I really like the feature where you can locate the nearest repeater, and if you have a list of analog and digital repeaters in your on your card in the radio, you can, just using the GPS wherever you might be, find one that's close to you, and that's pretty slick. So I'm going to stick with that, with the D-Star part of it just being a little, I don't know, cherry on top, however useful it may or may not be. And I think I'm going to probably buy myself an HT by Icom, too, that'll be the exact same experience. And that way my mobile, my base, and my HT will all be usable exactly the same way. But I agree with you. DMR seems to be a lot easier. I think I've got that figured out pretty good. The radio I bought is not the cheapest one, but it's good quality, and I've enjoyed using it. So kind of nice to have a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah. Certainly helps. Another mode that I've been playing with is P25. That's another Motorola mode. Probably the oldest one. The same mode that's used for all of public safety. And I like the audio quality of P25. Specifically when you're using a more modern Motorola radio. Because there's the old Astro 25 series, which is what I have. There's the ATM series. You can also get the old Spectre, or the portable version was a Saber. And that was the, it still is pretty, it's still the king mode, I would say. Not easy to program, not really cheap, easy to use, like DMR, except it's not time slot based. At least in the AM community yet, it's still phase one. But, definitely leave something to be said when 90% of public safety across the country is using it.
Yeah, and they've come a long way with those vocoders since the initial release. They sound a whole lot better than they used to.
True that. Yeah, Ron, I heard you were saying that you had P25 443-375 P25 is capable. So, if you got UHF, you can do that.
Yeah, well, with our money and their time, there ain't nothing a municipality can't do.
Yeah, when it's somebody else's money. So the question is Greg still talking, or did he come off the key only to hear us talking?
I stopped talking.
You done fell out. Like, completely fell out. Yeah, I'm running older P25 stuff. I got a bunch of Raycal VHF. I have XCS, both 3,000 and 5,000, 2,500s. I'm trying to get out of the Jedi series and kind of standardize on the Juarez size, you know, the 2500s, the 9250s, you know, the, so I have everything, I just haven't gotten around to putting the time into doing the code plugs. So I have a VHF 2500, I have a UHF range 2 2500, I have a 900 2500, I'm pretty well set. It's just a matter of putting the time in it to program them. And then I've got 3000 both V and U, I have a 5000 U, but you know, it just, if you really want to do the code plug right, you know, like I like having all statewide stuff in the code plug, that is just, it's just hours and hours and hours of work.
Yep. And it gets like that when you're doing DMR too, so I can't blame you. It certainly takes a lot of motivation to do something like that. I don't even think, I haven't even programmed much in my 2500. It's got FTP in it, so whenever I just want to put something new in there, aside from talkers, that's the only thing I put in there on CPS, on Astro 25 CPS, is I just put in talkers. You can't put those in on the fly, but everything else I just do from the front panel.
My 900, I have a 900 that's FTP. And I have a UHF that's FTP. Other than that, none of them are, and I just haven't gotten. You talk about not getting motivated. You know, I haven't gotten motivated enough to do the flashes. But anyway, all right. Bentley didn't mean to leave you out. I'm back in my driveway. I may or may not be back on the HT, depending on how much effort I put into the four legs. But I'll be listening. W8RPM Bentley, go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. Just listening to you guys chat details about stuff that I don't understand. So just trying to absorb it. I do have a buddy of mine that is interested in picking up a DMR radio, and I've been feeding him some information and telling him, hey, dude, buy the same radio that I have so that you can use my code plug so that you don't have to start from scratch like I did. Because that is it's a big paradigm shift to just wrap your head around how a DMR radio is organized and how it works if you've been looking at GMRS or UHF or VHF ham stuff. So definitely takes a little bit different look at things.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's definitely a shift from programming analog stuff. It's a lot different because you got time slots, the color code, which 99% of the time is going to be color code 1, and you don't ever change from color code 1. But the thing you got to worry about is just the talk groups and the time slots. That's really about it. Color code is usually the same no matter what repeater you go to, at least in Michigan anyway. I don't think I've ever come across any other DMR repeaters around that don't have color code 1.
It's like the 293 NAC.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, I'll bet I plugged this radio into my computer 100 times after I made a change and it either worked and I had to like make that same change on everything else, or it didn't work and I had to go back and try something different.
I had to switch memories and I did not catch a single thing you said.
Oh, I was just describing my trial and error method of programming my DMR radio and tinkering with my code plug. I think I probably plugged that radio into my computer 100 times.
I think I've got you beat. Oh, man, the amount of times I've done a whole bunch of stuff on my radio to reprogram it, I lost track. That's well over 500 times.
Yeah, but I'm just a simple guy that's trying to get it to work in a basic way. You're a tinkerer that tries to exploit 5 different types of technologies into one, so I get that. But one of the nice things is how easy it is to back something up and go back and put it back to your previous state if you really screw something up. So I've had to pull that card out of the deck once or twice, too.
Yeah, that's understandable. Well, I can tell you, based from experience, when you do it enough, it becomes second nature. Granted, I do it commercially, so, but even before then, even before I started doing it, commercial radio programming, I kind of had it. Also, like you said, tinkered with it a bunch. It just takes time getting used to it.
Well, I remember what a chore it was even to remember how to use a Baofeng, as simple as that is. And, like, again, when you, just like anything else, when you open the hood and tinker with things, the operation becomes the easy part. Everything under the hood is what demands your attention. KFA, ENF.
Yeah, that's how it goes. All right, Bentley, I'm just rolling back into Traverse here, so I'm not far from calling it a day. We'll say 7-3. KF8ENF in 8DMH.
Yeah, by the way, your connection has gotten a lot better. Much less, almost zero flutter in that last transmission, so you must be getting close to home. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later. KF8ENF.
You know, Bentley, I'm sure if you, like you said, you hook the thing up to the programming software 100 times,
just to make one little change every time, but what annoys me, talking about what annoys Ron today, what annoys me with the hammy stuff, you know, it's the whole beta VHS thing all over again, only there's a lot more variables. You know, nobody ever really landed on a standard. You know, Fusion's very popular in some places. I think the first one to be digital and popular at all was D-Star, and that was more of a Southwest kind of, you know, Texas, Arizona kind of thing. You know, and then after that it was probably Fusion, then probably DMR, you know, which is, you know, that's Motorola Turbo by another name. And it's pretty easy to program once you figure it out. You know, it's really just a time slot and a color code. Whereas with P25, you know, there's no time slots for phase one. There's no color codes. There's NACs, you know, network access codes, normally three digits. Not that different than PL and DPL. You know, and the DPL is a little bit confusing when you're brand new because you got forward and reverse, you know, positive and negative. But the thing that annoys me with the ham stuff, and that's why I've always been partial to ICOM, is the intuitiveness of the programming, the fact, you know, how the software instinctively flows from one field to the next, or, you know, between modes, between channels, and I still, to this day, I think ICOM does it best. I think the ICOM programming, both the portables and the mobiles, I just kind of adapt to that better than anything else. In the ham world, Bofang is the absolute worst. Bofang is more difficult to program than, certainly than anything ICOM Kenwood Yaesu ever came up with.
Yeah, I hear you there. Hey, we came up with this great idea to use digital in the radio world. Hey, that's a great idea. It's such a great idea that we're going to make our own version that it's not compatible with and have different rules and different ways to do it. That annoys the crap out of me, too. And once I got my arms around DMR and, you know, it seems to be a little bit more of a standard, meaning that it can be deployed across many different platforms. Then I tried to sit down and figure out D-Star on my ICOM radio, and for the life of me, reading that poorly written manual on D-Star was really no help. I had to watch a bunch of YouTube videos, and then all of a sudden, one day the light went on, and I figured it out. And it's like, wow, why did it take that long to do something that should be a lot more simple? But, you know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff in just about everything. Don't get me started on standards for optics on pistols or suppressor mounts. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of that everywhere you go.
Well, and because it's in most, you know, depending on the topic, almost everything comes out of commerce. You know, it's capitalism and it's for-profit world. And I understand that people want to protect their intellectual property, but, you know, everything has its limits. And, you know, when you really get into the things that truly have an impact on mankind, the people that seem to have made the most impact are the ones that just open source everything, you know. And that is the nice thing about the P25 standard, that even though it was proprietary to APCO, it's not a Motorola thing, it's an APCO thing, Association of Public Safety Communications Officials, which is an industry trade group, you know. It's like the USCCA of radio, sort of. You know, and I mean, greed is good to a point, but, you know, there's only so much that you can tolerate, especially if you're exposed to it. Oh, it complicates my life with shooting. It complicates my life with radio. It complicates my life with the pharmaceuticals that I have to deal with, you know. It complicates my life and what I drive and the camera I own and my cell phone. And it's just, you know, it just gets overwhelming.
which is exactly my point, because while the manufacturers can maintain their intellectual rights, which I don't have a problem with, it's the consumer that ends up trying to navigate the web, right? And, you know, let's say you've been involved in, you know, one brand of radio, and you've invested in a lot of equipment, and you really like the platform, and you know it in and out, but the new technology that manufacturer is offering isn't compatible with anything that your friends use or what's prevalent in your local area. So you end up having to, you know, reinvest in some other platform in order to enjoy that part of the hobby. I went through that with, you know, SLR cameras and lens mounting standards. I've done that with, you know, so many things in my life, and I don't know, I think I'm just entering my curmudgeon phase, and I'm over it.
You are showing your age, my friend. I, you know, Nikon, Nikkor, Nikermat, Pentax K, Pentax screw thread. I'm going to have PTSD tonight.
Well, maybe that'll take your mind off the other things that have been annoying you today.
Yeah, that's almost nostalgic, those minor annoyances from back then. It just comes with age. You know, so the other thing that I was doing, I was making a code plug, a receive-only code plug for, you know, type-accepted 700-800 radio. And I dedicated a zone to utilities between consumers, DTE, GLE, PIE. You know, in the last couple of days, I've been up to my eyeballs in gas ops, electric ops, distribution ops, maintenance, install, and I tried to restrict all that to one channel position in one zone, which is 64 talk groups, and it was tough. You know, it was really tough trying to figure out what to put in there and what to leave out.
Yeah, and then once you find out that they all pretty much use their inboard computer terminals to communicate, and the radio is only like a backup, how useful is all that work going to be for you?
Well, and that thought crossed my mind, too. You know, not being very intimate as to what they actually do. You know, I mean, I have people there. So you got to kind of go back to the start of the radar group that still exists. There's about 10 or 12 or 13 of us. And, you know, we take care of a lot of those high-profile Detroit repeaters because we inherited them from the Edison Radio Club. You know, and when Detroit Edison, in its heyday in the 70s and 80s, almost all the radio techs and all the guys in radio maintenance and install, they were all hams, and they had access. You know, they had access to you know, DTE Plaza Roof, and they had access to the Book and the Rensen and, you know, Oakwood, and a lot of these places that we maintain as sites today. And then as they got older and retired, and many of them passed away, and, you know, that we kind of had a choice to make in the early to mid-80s, you know, do we just let all this fade into oblivion, or just do we actually do something to take it over and take control? And, you know, that's when we went out and we incorporated and we got the league insurance and, you know, made sure that we kind of had all our ducks in a row. And that's why a lot of this stuff is still on the air. You know, some of it's not. Some of the sites we lost and some of the people lost interest. But for the most part, the backbone's still there.
Ah, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Radar, in its first form, goes all the way back to a guy named Jerry, WBAMER, who was a truck driver that went to prison for a while. I think he was from Taylor, and he had the first, the 14733 on Oakwood. And it sort of went away, and then the Edison Club sort of went away, so we reincarnated the radar group. And if you go, I think I sent you the thing, if you go to qsl.net/WR8DAR, a lot of that stuff is there. It's not up to date. There's people on there listed as members that are silent keys. But, yeah, it just, again, it's all we're doing is showing our age.
Well, hopefully there will be some younger people getting involved in this kind of stuff, and we'll keep it alive. The way that technology is evolving and AI and other things that inhibit the privacy of our lives, I would really hope that an alternative source of communication, and one that is particularly analog, will be sustained. And I don't know how that happens. I don't think there's a lot of young people that are interested in this kind of stuff like maybe there once was, but it sure would be nice to get a few more on board.
W8VPC.
Good afternoon, Dump for them.
Yeah, my name here is Mike, down here in Royal Oak. And when you guys are talking about the radar repeater, reminds me of a story. And the first time I drove down to Florida to visit my sister, I had a 89 Crown Vic, dark blue, tinted windows, three antennas on the trunk lid, a blue cap and a red cap on the rear sill. And all the truck drivers were calling out the Smokey in the plain blue wrapper going southbound. And then one guy came on and says, nope, that's a ham operator. Turns out he was the trustee for the radar repeater driving his truck.
Oh, that was Bill. That was WB8MER. Long silent key.
Yeah, we had a nice talk on 11 meters. I asked him if he had the 2-meter radio in his truck. He says, well, yeah, but I don't use it, you know, because back then, if a truck driver was in, had some trouble with his truck, he said, try to find help on 2 meters and you're out of luck. But if you get on 11 meters, you'll get help right away.
KF8ENF. Yeah, growing up as a small kid, plying the Michigan highways between Grand Rapids and Detroit, my dad had a CB radio rolling the entire time before radar detectors were available.
Oh, and now you got me questioning myself. I'm going to have to look that call sign up. And I instinctively said Bill, but I know earlier I said Jerry, and I think it was Jerry, but I got to look it up. That was before I was licensed. I mean, hell, I was licensed in 76. And, the bigger Detroit repeaters, in their more basic form, you know, before remote receive sites and linking and all that stuff, I think the 7-6 was the very first one in Detroit on the Michigan Bell Building. I'm not going to be able to think of the names of the guys, but I can see their faces. And if you said their calls, a couple of them are still around. So the 7-6 went up at Cass in Michigan. Not too long later after that, the radar went up. The 733 went up on Oakwood Hospital. The Clarkston on the water tower and Clarkston on 684. And I think the Ann Arbor on 694, I think. But again, you know, I mean, I'm a kid. I'm listening on a tunable Lloyd's multiband radio, and I didn't get my ticket till 77. But anyway. All right, carry on. Thanks for dumping that in. I got a 10 to 4-leggers, but I'll be listening with a portable in a minute. W8RPM, Bentley, go ahead.
Yeah, cool story, Ron. My aunt from Riverview worked at that Michigan Bell building and retired there as an operator back in the day. Fun times. KFA-ENF.
Yeah, the guy that owns the 7-6 Spirit is Wallace. He's still around. He ended up retiring from Bell Telephone, and had to move his equipment. His repeater is still in Southfield. It's a fusion repeater. Still going strong. The DART 14664 was the one of the first repeaters. It was 7-6 and the 6-4. Maybe they all went up 1967. But, you know, I heard stories that back then you could be driving on the Ohio Turnpike and talk on 14664 without a problem. Now you can't with all the big buildings in the way and equipment lower power. But anyways, name is Mike. My old call was November 8, Echo Quebec Delta. I used to run the Oakland County Skywar Nets and Oakland County Air PSC Nets back in the day. I moved up north, got involved up north with MCOM or OXCOM, the CCE guys, and then moved back downstate. So anyways, I'm going to jump out. I've got things to do down here. W8VPC.
Hey, is Wallace's call HR? Is it K8HR? Am I thinking right?
K-E-8-H-R. I was trying to remember it, too.
I saw him at Livonia last year. I'll probably see him this weekend. I know that Phil, I'm not going to be able to remember Phil's call. I know that I think he provides some of the sites, or maybe one of the receive sites. There are multiple receive sites still for the 7-6. Highland Park, you know, the DART, I believe it's on its original site. I think it went up on that OMC tower at, 10.5 and, 10.5 and Coolidge, or 10 and Coolidge, and as far as I know, it's still there. And there's a UHF up there as well. I've been to many of these sites over the years. There was that little guy from Oak Park. I can see his face, and he's a small little guy, real active in Skywarn and stuff. He's got to be long deceased. He was old when I was a kid. But, you're from there, so you know all the same guys I know. Al, you know, VR Al, and, we've forgotten more than we'll remember, I'll tell you that. But yeah, please check in here often. I love trying to stir up those long dead brain cells. All right, gone for good. W8RP.
Yeah, thank you both gentlemen for the history lesson. Very cool stuff. This is Bentley in Harbor Springs, KF8ENF.
Yeah, okay, the DART is no longer on the WOMC tower. That's a long time ago. They had the transmitter at one site, the receiver at the other, 10 Mile and Greenfield. The repeater is still at 10 and Greenfield on the apartment building. And it's been there since the early 80s. So I'll get on more often. Talk to you guys later, W8VPC.
KSAFTE. KSAFTE monitoring. KF8FTE monitoring.
KF8FTE, K8ZAD, good evening.
KF8EMF, standby boys, I'll be there in 5.
Copy that. Josh, you're still there?
Am I coming through okay?
You did that time.
That's fantastic news, because I'm at the kitchen or at dining room table, and I have my radio set on cross-band repeat, so it's working fabulous. I did have my radio in the truck on the way home, just kind of cords everywhere, slung all over the place. I called out, nobody was on, so I don't know how well it was all the way home. It was a little staticky down in Gaylord. By the time I got to Vanderbilt, it had cleared up quite a bit, but I don't know how I sound, so we'll have to try that another night.
So did you ever get online and go to the Northern Michigan Link Repeater System website?
I was on so many websites last night, and it was late, and I don't remember. I'm sure I probably crossed paths with it.
They have some very interesting maps on their opening page down towards the bottom of it that shows the basic broadcast area. I forget what exactly they call that kind of map. But for each repeater, you know, the area that it covers and whatnot. It's really interesting to look at that and see what each repeater will do.
You sent me the snapshot or the picture of earlier?
No, that's something totally different.
Okay, well, I'll be back out there tonight. Toying around with it, and I got that laptop that I have out there. I got to get some information off that one and put it on my new laptop and hope that I have everything, because I dropped my hard drive, external hard drive today, and it no longer works and had all my information on it. That's why I have copies on top of copies.
Murphy just seems to creep into everything, doesn't he?
So, what repeaters do you monitor consistently?
Me, myself, and I?
Yes, are you, I know you do the WAEUP, you and this one. Do you ever, you said you can get the WAIRA. Do you ever monitor that one?
Yeah, once in a while I do. They have and there again, if you go to their website, they give you a schedule of nets that they have. There's some interesting nets that I tune in and listen to. I don't necessarily join in any of them because I get to be kind of lengthy, but they're kind of interesting at times. That, and then there's one that's a WB8TQZ. He's a guy over in Roger City that has a repeater over there. And I can get into that one really well. And he does a Monday night net at 7 o'clock. That's kind of interesting. It's just, those are about it, though. I mean, there's a couple other repeaters that I can hit. from here, but those are the ones that I listen to most often.
I did see that Rogers City one last night when I was out there entering. I don't think I put it in because I was experimenting and just wanting to test some stuff, so I don't know. I don't think I put that one in there. Probably should see if I can hit it. Surprisingly enough, Kalkaska, Manitoba, Traverse City, Vanderbilt, W-A-I-R, fairly near anything. And actually, I can even receive in the hospital. The radio has been programmed to the frequency.
Yeah, that type of static went on your entire last transmission. I didn't hear hardly any of it. So, conversation.
KFAENF. You guys still out there?
KFAENF. KAGAG.
Yeah, I don't know where that nasty static came from. I texted you guys both to suggest we go over to the W8IRA in Vanderbilt, but whatever was going on seems to have gone away.
Hey, DMH, it's, that noise is coming from the 147.34, and the web page is being stupid, and I can't disconnect it at the moment, so just bear with me here.
Ah, thanks, Drake. I did go to the Mackinac repeater to see if it would, if it was any better, but I was getting the same thing there, so.
Yeah, give me about, like, 2-3 minutes, and I'll have it fixed.
The unsung hero. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, sir. And the Sheboygan repeater was the same way.
Yeah, it's an interference issue. It's the repeater getting into itself. It's because it's thawing. The location it's in, it's not temperature controlled. And when you get moisture in places it shouldn't be, that's the byproduct.
KFE-FDE.
Hey, Josh, we were just talking to Drake, N8DMH. He's aware of the static issue and is actually working on fixing it, but it doesn't seem to be prevalent anymore, so we can keep talking, I think.
Did I catch you over on the Vanderbilt IRA?
I called out there, and then I heard some kind of garbled response that I could not understand. Maybe that was you.
No, sir, that was not me, but that's been happening since I left Galen. I don't know what it is. Sounds like something out of a scary movie.
You're able to get into that that repeater from your base station in Boyne Falls?
Oh yeah, I get the Vanderbilt IRA, the Traverse City IRA, the Traverse City, the WEC. I gotta try the right.
Hey, DMH, I fixed it.
Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, I dropped the machine off the network, so the noise problem is going to be gone now.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your efforts and everything you do.
I try. Have fun, guys. I need new age.
K-F-A-T-K-A-J-A-T.
KF8FTE.
KE8ZAT.
So much clearer, more clear on this. I will say, though, when I was at the shop, lot of static and stuff. I'm not sure how that's going to play out as far as my 2-meter. I think, as opposed to the GMRS there, which I don't have a ton of elevation with my antenna, I feel like I'm going to have to get above everything and to get that to clear up, because with the truck, and again, I don't know how well that antenna works. I don't know how well anybody could hear me either, because I had just started using it. So I guess as we test over the next week or so, I can sort of sort that out. But, you know, doing the measurements, SWR is really low. It's running great. So I don't know. We'll see. I am going to get an antenna up down there, though.
Yeah, it's a trial and error thing. You know, we'll figure you out and get you set up one way or the other. KF8ENF, you out there? All right, gosh, I guess he's not out there. I thought I heard him on there, too, real quick, but maybe he's finishing up his tacos.
Yeah, I just had me let me rephrase that. It was homegrown beef with provolone cheese. I think she put an extra slice on there because it was super, super thick, cheesy, very delicious burger. And actually tonight, as warm as it was today, I'm starting to smell the beef out back, which is very unpleasant, but it just reminds me that what I'm doing is worth it, and they're still alive, making more food for me.
And those are those vegetarian burgers, right? Don't they take the grass and make beef out of it?
Yes, it's a very scientific process. I don't want to go through all the details, but I basically feed them hay and they eat grass, and believe it or not, they still get fat and produce food for me, lots of meat. And if you need some this year, just a FYI, Red is going because her calves are the size of large dogs, and I cannot afford to have that. So I don't want pet cows, I want food. So if you need some ground beef, we are going to have a lot of it.
Well, funny enough, I just got put on the list out at Urich, so we should be having a half come due here not too long. But if you don't mind, I will let the youngins know that you're going to have some beef for sale, and they might be getting hold of you.
That would be fantastic, because I have a lot of freezer space, but I don't have that much freezer space, and we don't eat. I mean, if we just do a half mix of steaks, ground beef, whatever, roast, that lasts us a year. We could probably use a little more ground beef just because, you know, we do the burgers and she makes a lot of stuff with it. But, yeah, I mean, if we have 300 pounds of meat, that's more than enough for a year. I think we were going off of 240-ish pounds last year. We're not short on meat, I can tell you that. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting year because she's a pretty big girl. And she has, like I say, her calves are... My goodness. The one out there, he's cuter than a button, but he's the size of a St. Bernard, and that's about it.
Well, you said St. Bernard, and I had a Korean restaurant joke come to mind, but never mind.
So, not to change the subject, but doing cross-band repeat, I think that's what was getting my radio so hot, I'm assuming, because she was cooking. And I had shut the radio off, the handheld off in the house because of all the noise. Came out here, and, I mean, the fan's just screaming, and the thing's hot. And I could see something was coming across. I think it was on the Vanderbilt IRA. It was whatever was going on with that sound, like something from a horror film.
Yeah, I heard that, too. I don't know what was going on there that was interesting. I don't know enough about that sort of thing to venture a guess as to what the problem was. It was just odd, that's for sure.
Yeah, and he was trying to come through shortly after I left the shop. I couldn't have been 5 miles north, and he was coming on doing that, and somebody got on there and told him, like, you are not coming through at all. We can't hear you. And the whole way home, kept doing it. I was playing with that little radio, monitoring different frequencies and stuff. But it seems to work well. I guess we'll find out tomorrow, you know, if you were on. Of course, you're probably eating dinner about the time I get out of work, so I guess we'll see. I'll shoot you a text.
Well, tomorrow, let me know what time, because I'm not coming home after work because we're doing a CPR class at work, so I'm just going to hang out till that starts at 6, so I might be able to be out in the truck and give you some feedback.
Yeah, I can do that. And depending on the weather, I don't know, we're supposed to have an engine showing up that should have been there for the last 3 or 4 days. That's not, which is frustrating because we're trying to fill the schedule. But, yeah, it should be a pretty easy day. We should be out of there on time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's been nice. I've been getting out closer and closer to 5 o'clock and actually enjoying it. So, I don't think I'm going to, and I probably should do it down there because I have everything I need, but I think I'm just going to mount that radio in my garage if I can fit the truck through the door and just do it in here because, you know, I'll have Star Trek going and I'll have my radios on, so... I got all the stuff all at once.
I gotta say, Mark's kind of sad that we're losing our end with TAC.
Honestly, though, the stuff that I do there, I have access to it, you know, on my own. I always have. I could probably do the same thing just from my shop. Because there's not a whole lot of information. There is some inside stuff, but for the most part, it's seeing the same thing over and over and understanding how to diagnose it and how they're doing it. I could literally still do it from my shop.
Well, I'll pass that on. That'll make Mark's day.
Yeah, and I do believe he has my cell phone number. If not... you do. The 3322 number. I'm pretty sure he has that. I know Jason has it. So, But yeah, so not to change the subject here, but I was getting closer to the end of the season. I think I might be into season 7. And apparently I had not watched it all the way through because I did not know that Jetsia died. That was a shocker to me.
Well, yeah, how do you think Ezri came about?
I was wondering about that when I saw the new character, because I had seen pictures. I'm like, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, Worf struggles with that one, because she is the, she takes on the Dax symbiote.
Yeah, he's already been breaking stuff and throwing things around.
Yeah, that's kind of fun to watch, isn't it?
Is that a lot like those, don't they have those rooms where you can go in and you tell them what you want to look like? You go with a ball bat and just start swinging and breaking stuff? It's kind of like that.
Yeah, only he doesn't confine it just to one room.
I did like the episodes where his son came back and he was kind of all soft, is the word.
Yeah, the Tough Love series.
I'm going to get out here and see. I'm going to scroll through, but I don't think I have that Roger City repeater. I'm going to try and pull that up and make sure that's in my list so I can program that into this radio. I'd be interested to see if I can reach that one. I think I can hit the Mackinac one. Of course, I'm hitting Pickford, too, so...
Yeah, I've always been kind of surprised. I can hit that Roger City one very, very well. So it must just be line of sight and terrain. There must not be a lot of high terrain between myself and where his antenna is. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, different nets are run differently. And that's interesting. When Mike runs that net on Monday nights, you know, he has everybody do the check-in, and then they do two go-rounds. He'll go around and, you know, okay, you're up now, and then, you know, then he will name whoever is going to be next after that person. So it kind of tells you who's on deck. And they go through and do one round, everybody saying their piece, and then come back around and do a final round. It's kind of just kind of interesting, different way of doing it.
Do you have the info handy there for the Roger City one so I can just enter it? I can search for it. I'm just being lazy.
Yep, let me know when you're ready.
I am ready.
It is 147.020 with a tone of 103.5.
KFTE, what is the name of that repeater?
It is Whiskey Bravo 8 Tango Quebec Zulu, WB8TQZ.
Give me just a couple minutes. I am going to program that in real quick and see how this works.
All right, I will set my second channel to monitor that one, and we'll see what happens. K8GAT.
K8GAT, KF8FTE. Apparently, I cannot hit that one.
Au contraire, I heard you come through both times. I called back to you on it even.
Really? Okay. I would say, what am I doing wrong then? Let me... The squelch is not, it's the same for all of them. I'm not sure why I wouldn't be getting it back.
Did you open the repeater and it gave its Morse code identifier. And then you called again, and then it was a little bit of a delay, and then I called out for you on that one, so maybe you'd already switched back.
Was it fairly clear?
Yeah, you were, I mean, there was a little scratch there, a little static, but you were 100% readable.
Okay, so let me make sure I have this correct. It's just a tone, 103.5, positive 6, offset. I don't see anything else. Everything else looks right. That's odd that it wasn't opening, on or I wasn't receiving.
Yeah, because I believe that that is just a PL tone, so that's just an ENCODE tone.
Yep, that's all I have it set for. I'm using CHIRP. It's set for tone, and then 103.5.
You got that on your secondary channel?
Give me just a second, I will. Okay, I do now.
All right, let me go over and I'll call you on that.
Yeah, if you're transmitting on there, I am not receiving.
KF8FTE.
KF8FTE, I didn't hear, it didn't open, nothing, I got zero.
All right, well, I just got done talking to Mike, the guy that owns that repeater, and he was saying he could hear you open the repeater and hold it, but you were really weak signal, and it wasn't coming across really well. He couldn't really make out what you were saying. So his suggestions were either more elevation or more gain. So either way, that's kind of an antenna issue, it sounds like. But, you know, according to him, you were tripping the repeater, so, you know, we're almost there with it.
Yeah, we seem to go full circle with the antenna thing, don't we? It's my elevation. The fact that I'm doing as well as I am is surprising. I mean, I'm hitting way more repeaters than I thought I would.
Yeah, for as short a time as I've been into this and dealing with things, that the elevation seems to be the key for just about everything.
Well, I'm looking at the information for that online. What is the downlink tone? It says CFQ, but the uplink tone is a 103.5.
So I believe what they're talking about there is, you know, with the GMARS stuff, we used to call it an input and output tone, or an encode or decode. So your uplink is going to be your getting into the repeater. The downlink is going to be, if it has a tone set up, you have to have the correct tone set up to where you can hear that signal coming back, if I understand things correctly.
Okay. So what does CFQ mean then? Because that's what's in the downlink tone.
What program are you using?
That's in repeater. Was it repeater book, I think? That's what it shows on there.
Yeah, I can't tell you for sure on that. I would just be guessing, pulling stuff out of my butt. So I'm not going to give you any bad information.
So, the interwebs, it just means CFQ, constant squelch. In the context of amateur radio communication, it just indicates that it's not controlled by a tone, so that it's the reception of it. you don't have to be, you don't have to activate it with a tone, is all that means. Basically open on that side.
Alright, that's what I would have guessed, but I wasn't sure enough to lead you down the garden path quite yet.
Well, I'll leave it in here, and, you know, if I get this antenna a little higher or whatever happens, maybe we can make something happen. I mean, we did it with the GMRS. I mean, look how that panned out. That was quite well, and I didn't have to work half as hard to get the ham stuff to work, so this is really nice.
Yeah, I knew you'd like it.
Would have been nice to have it set up before winter and then just be able to relax out here with it, because the GMRS thing was kind of, you know, we lost the link downstate, and so there was, like, no chatter. It's basically just us on the one and whenever Bentley jumped on there. Pretty quiet other than that.
Yeah, like we kind of talked before, it's almost like we had our own system there, but I wish I would hear from Dell once in a while. I haven't heard him on here at all lately. I don't know. I should shoot him a text and see if he's doing all right.
What is his repeater set up for, the 2 meter? Or is that the one? That was the one that he was moving, I thought.
Correct. Last I knew, he was having to move that off his tower that was up by Seashell City, and he was going to move that onto the Stutz tower. But I don't think weather permitted much tower climbing at that time. So I know it's still not up and running. I test it every now and then just to see, but I think he's still got some work to do on that.
Is that one the W8GQN?
That's one out of Harbor, the, I think, the Straits Area Amateur Radio Club. I think that's their repeater. And that one's still up and running, but it's the coverage area is way smaller than what it used to be. So I know during the ice storm, we got on that a couple times, you and I. And it's, you know, I can barely hit it from here. When I get into the shop, I can hit it from my truck. But it's just, I don't know what went on with that. Maybe they took some little extra damage in the storm, and they're still working through that.
It's crazy that we're still talking about the damage from that. I mean, I know it's expensive. It takes a lot of work, and, of course, the weather has not cooperated this winter at all. But it's just wild that we're even discussing that a year later.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're just, look at the number of repeaters that have gone down. You know, towers that have come down and probably aren't going to come back. It was a big deal, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. The East Jordan, there's nothing. I was opening something up over there. I don't know what it was. But I was hitting something with the East Jordan information that I had in my radio. And a little staticky. I could only get it with my base station. But I know the 2 meter repeater over there too. I don't think that one's not working either. So yeah, I'm not sure what's happening with that.
Yeah, I think some of them are just not coming back. And, you know, I get it. There's a lot of money involved in time and effort. And so many of these guys just did it out of the kindness of their heart and out of their own pocket. And just kind of put the paint to them, I think.
Yeah, it's not a cheap hobby to get into. I guess on our end, it's a little less expensive, but you can also spend a lot of money. But if you're the one putting the repeater up, yeah, that's... And I was talking to my nephew. He's got his radio station up in Newberry, and he was telling me about that, and some of the guys that had insurance, and there apparently is an age limit, and they weren't aware of it. Wasn't in their paperwork, I guess, and the insurance company denied the claims. And I mean, that's, you're talking $500,000 for a tower, and they couldn't get it replaced. Yeah, so yeah, it's that was rough. That storm was rough.
Yeah, it really makes you appreciate people and systems like the one we're talking on here. NADMH, he does a really fine job of keeping up with everything and keeping everything up and running. And much like with Dell, I don't think he gets the recognition he deserves.
Well, it's greatly appreciated, though. There's no doubt about it.
For sure. Well, my friend, I think I'm going to bow out for the evening. Head inside, put my feet up, maybe. But good hearing you on here, and we will keep improving your system, for sure. KAGAP.
All right. I am going to finally clean my garage up and get things organized. Maybe not all of it. I'm not going to do it all tonight, but some. I don't want to work too hard. I got to sit in a chair tomorrow, so I don't want to pull a muscle tonight. But, yeah, I might be on early tomorrow, so depending on what time you go, I might be mobile on this frequency. So if you're out there, I will key up and see if you're even awake yet. I know you're older and it's tough sometimes, but that's all right. I will talk to you down the airways. KF8 FEE.